Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. If you would like more information on Exchange, please visit us online at www.exchangechurchbelfast.com.
As Christian people, our lives are built on the love of God. Now, some of us may not articulate it that way, or some of us may not think about it that way, but actually, it's the most foundational thing in the Christian life is to understand this, how much Jesus Christ loves you, and how he loves you, and the difference that that makes today, because actually, it's the most foundational thing we have talked about in life. You know, it's funny when you walk around things like Faith Mission, and you see tens of thousands of books written about all different facets of the Christian faith, from all sorts of things, okay? Too many subjects to mention. But essentially, the hinge point is this, is how does God love you? In what way does he love you? Because when we get a revelation of that, the Bible is very clear. The more you understand the length, the depth, the width, and the height, and the more you experience the love of God, not just fill your head with it, but actually have a daily kind of walk with God, which is experience and not head knowledge, then actually the Word of God says in Ephesians that you become more full of God. All right, so the more you experience God's love, the more that you experience his fullness within you. Okay, and experiencing is going way past stuff that you have just up here. All right, it's about a living, dynamic walk with Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible talks about. In Philemon 1 verse 6, we talked about this last week. It says that our faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that God has put within us. So actually what that means is this, your faith starts to work, your Christian life starts to make sense whenever you start to understand what God has already done on the inside of you. And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about how is it possible to love people supernaturally? Whenever we get hurt, whenever we get offended, whenever people step on us, whenever people don't treat us good, how at all is it possible not to block God's love flowing in your life? Because if you block God's love, all right, it's not that God pulls away and there's a long dark night of the soul or any of that nonsense. But actually what happens is there's things and circumstances come into our life. And what we do is we need to make a choice to not let those things stop God's love flowing in us. How do we do that? Well, last week we talked about it. Actually, all the love that you need is already in there. You have the same spirit as Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. And whenever we start to acknowledge what happens when we become Christians and we start to release it and operate in it, things start to work and make sense. That's what we've been talking about. A revelation of God's love will keep you in perfect peace. It won't keep you in some sort of ecstatic state where you walk on the clouds with Jesus every day. That's not what we're talking about, but an assurance deep in your heart, an assurance that grows and develops that God is utterly committed to you. We sang this morning, this is how we know what love is. And whenever you look at the cross of Christ, that's when you realize what love is like, because God's kind of love is birthed out of a total commitment for your good. A total commitment for your good. It's not a love based on feeling. It's not a love based on, well, I'll do this for you if I want, because I want something back out of you. God was totally committed to you before you even had the first thought about him. That's God's kind of love. And that's what frees us. You know, it doesn't matter what you're facing this week. If you get more of an understanding of how much God loves you, it will put a different filter on everything that you go through this week. It'll put a different focus on everything that you go through this week. You know, if people are thinking about the whole area of healing, and I've talked about this, and just recapping for people who maybe just didn't listen, all right, whenever we talk about healing, all right, and people get themselves all in a twist about healing, don't they? They go, oh, does Isaiah 53 mean that, and it doesn't mean the other, and how do we know God heals? Oh, God might want you to die. Total nonsense, because we've got the order of things wrong. Whenever we get an understanding of a God who has shown his commitment and his love to us, then you don't even need to think about whether he wants you to be well. Because when you know that somebody is totally committed to your good, is totally committed to your well-being, and has proved it by hanging on a cross and dying for you, you don't need to question whether they want good for your life. Isn't that right? You don't need to question whether God's not going to let you be skint forever and struggle with your finances. Because when you understand that he loves you and is totally committed to your very best, well then all of a sudden you have a different filter, don't you? It's not like, will God do or has he done? But it's, I know that my God loves me. He's totally and utterly for me. So why would I even question the fact that he wants to look after me? You see, religion has taught us that everything that we get in this Christian walk is entirely dependent to how well you are doing with God. So if you do good, he blesses you. If you have a wee sin in your life, then somehow there's a whole sort of thing where God pulls back and goes, oh, I can't bless. Now, sins, you know, we've talked about this and we've said this, and That's not the way it works. God's love and commitment to you is independent of you. It's got nothing to do with you. It's all about him. And that's why you can be confident this morning. Because if God's love was based on how you've performed this week, then we're all snookered. In fact, this morning, we're going to do 2 weeks on forgiveness, actually, because we've been looking at, you know, understanding how much God loves us. And we've been looking at some of the things that can stop God's love flowing through us. Not stop God loving us, but stop us walking in the goodness of how God loves us. One of those things was dealing with pride, all right? And not that there's many proud people in this room. And, how do we deal with offence? And over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to have a look, actually, at the whole thing of forgiveness. Now, most people will go, ah, yeah, whatever. I know I need to forgive. And if you do that right now, then what you need to do is stop and listen. Because if I was to ask about any other subject in the Christian life that I would get a reaction for every week, it would be this one. Nobody is immune to the whole area of walking in forgiveness or unforgiveness. But essentially, it is probably the biggest area that will stop the love of God flowing in your life. In fact, it makes me laugh this morning as I was coming here. You know Clara Street around the corner? It's one of those funny... Actually, can I just clarify something before I tell this story? See the big white arrow, right? That means I've got right away, doesn't it? Does it? Yes? Can I have a yes? Thank you. Okay, so I'm going down Clara Street. Oh. Because if it had been the other way around, I was quickly moving on. So I'm driving down Clara Street, and it's one of those kind of one-way things. Right? There's a big white arrow, which means if you can see the big white arrow in your direction, you drive. Isn't that right? And the wee red arrow means you stop. So I was in there early this morning. We were getting set up. It was great fun. And I was driving down Clara Street, and there was this, she must have been 75, this wee woman, like driving at 50 miles per hour with the bumps the other way, up the wrong way in Clara Street. So I put my brakes on because I didn't want to drive into her, and she stopped her car. Listen to this. Now I was looking, thinking, massive hat on the way to church, dolled up. I'm thinking, okay, misunderstanding. She starts to flash the lights at me and sit on the horn. And I thought, hold on a wee minute, love. Can you not see the big? Maybe she couldn't see the big sign, right? Because she had this massive hat that filled the whole car. So I pulled up beside her, right? And she'd already beat me to get the window down. I'm thinking, I've got a pensioner with attitude. Unbelievable. It's like an OAP. She's going to beat me with a stick. So I got my window down, okay? And I went, do you not know that big white thing means I can go on? And do you know what she went? She said to me, she went, oh, off. She dropped the... and told me that's off. And then headed up Clara Street at about 80 miles an hour. And I was there going, are you serious? Like, and then I just burst out laughing because I thought, I've just been totally dissed by a pensioner. That's incredible. In a hat, on the way to church, telling me that off. Right? I'm thinking, okay, God, just when you think it doesn't get any stranger. That was after I left this morning. And I just went myself laughing. So here's me this morning that is talking about forgiveness. And I wanted to go and get that hat and push it over her head and slap her. You know? So here's the bottom line. Every day, there's going to be somebody who's going to wind you up. There's going to be somebody who's going to hurt you. There's going to be somebody who's going to put something into your life or say something or act in a way which you're not going to be that happy with. Now, forgiveness is a tricky, tricky subject. And I want to be sensitive, but I also want to communicate over these next 2 weeks what the Word of God says, because I am convinced that with pride comes strife and all the rest. And I think unforgiveness is entirely linked to pride, actually. And I think that we all, every single one of us, need to examine our hearts and say, God, do you know what? Where am I at? How am I actually doing with this? How am I actually, where am I at with this? Because I can't have a head knowledge which goes, yeah, I kind of know that I need to do that and actually have a heart that never does. You'll get into trouble. You'll stop God flowing in your life. And do you know what? It needs to be dealt with. I actually looked this week for inspiration from the great fathers of the faith. You know, when you're dealing on a subject like this, you think, right, what did the big heavyweights have to say about it? You know, the lots of them. Okay, I was going to be sorry there, but I won't bother. So what did the big heavyweights say? And so, like, I ended up with John Calvin. And his whole thing on forgiveness was, it's really difficult. One line, one quote. And I was like, oh yeah, cheers, John. That was really, really helpful. You know, it's actually been, there's been a lot written about it by all the great people. But essentially, what they say is this. This is a tough one, folks. This is not easy. You will struggle with this. But if you get it right and you overcome it, bang, your life will change. Desmond Tutu, shortly after apartheid was brought down in South Africa, said, look, what is exactly is the big deal? He was asked in an interview, and somebody said to him, what's the big deal with forgiveness? Desmond, what is the big deal? And he said this, without forgiveness, there is no future. Now, he wasn't just talking about personal pain, but he was talking about South Africa in the aftermath of apartheid. And when I read that, I thought, well, do you know what's true of individuals? In terms of if they don't have forgiveness, there's no future. What's true of individuals is true of families. And if it's true of families, it's true of cities. And if it's true of cities, then it's true of nations, actually. If there is no forgiveness, we don't have a future. If I put it another way, without forgiveness, we don't have freedom, we don't have recovery, and we don't have healing. In any sense, physical as well as spiritual. We don't have a future unless we learn that we have been forgiven and also that we need to forgive. Now you're going, well, Tuga, come on, give me some cool stuff. You know, I want to hear some kind of theological insight which I've never heard before. But you know what I find? I find it's the bits of the Bible that I truly understand that are the most difficult to get my head around. You see, I can tie myself up in theology, but actually when Jesus says to me, Andrew, just as I've forgiven you, then you need to walk in forgiveness, I've got no wriggle room. I know what I need to do, and it's really, really difficult. You see, the bits of the Bible that are very clear are often the ones that we're going to struggle with, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you even this morning and say, do you know what? Let's have a wee look at this in your life, because you are blocking my love from flowing in you. In a world where there's so much pain, there's so much animosity, there's so much fracture and disappointment, is it possible that we can be people who are countercultural and walk in forgiveness? Is that possible? Or is what Jesus is talking about just a total pipe dream? I want to tell you this, that actually it has to be more than a pipe dream, because why? Our whole faith, your whole walk with Christ, is based on forgiveness. It's that fundamental. It is that fundamental. God's love for you is totally unconditional, as I've talked about. It's independent of how you perform. And part of that commitment to that God has towards you is he made a decision that he would forgive you. He made a decision to go, do you know what? In as much as you have hurt me and you have rejected me, God said, my commitment to you is I'm deciding to forget that. And I'm going to forgive you. It is that fundamental. You see, it's not a bolt-on to the Christian faith. It's the heart of the Christian faith. From God above, forgiving you, first of all, that is the heart of what we believe. You see, it's all the way through the Bible. Let me give you a few verses. Acts 10:43. Write these down. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, kept a record of our sin, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Your whole walk this morning and you standing with Jesus is dependent on the fact that he has forgiven you. It's not unbelievable. It's a linchpin, an absolute linchpin. Your whole salvation hinges on God's forgiveness towards you. And as well, what we've been talking about in the series Flow is not just how God loves you, but how we love other people. You see, so the Bible just doesn't talk about how you're forgiven. And I'm going to talk more about, this is like an introduction to this kind of topic in Flow. But it just doesn't talk, God just doesn't talk about how he's forgiven you. But inasmuch, Mark 11:26, as you have received forgiveness, then you need to show it. Oh, like, you can't really get out of that. Mark 11:26 says this, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Oh, what does that actually mean? We're going to unpack that one next week. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. So here's the big deal. This is it. Christianity, your walk with Jesus today is supremely about forgiveness. You see, God only had one solution for sin. He only had one solution for it. That was he had to forgive it. That's how he dealt with it. He didn't give us any other way to deal with sin. He said, you know what? You can't do it. I'm going to forgive you. That is God's heart. And there is no other way around it. God himself has shown us what it means to forgive. He's hung on a cross and he said, listen, if you want to know what love is, you want to know what commitment is, look at what I have done for you. That is what he has done. This walk is supremely about being able to understand what God's done in you and then showing that to other people. You have been forgiven this morning. I want to encourage you that if you know Jesus this morning, and I'm going to look at what very quickly about what we're actually talking about when we say forgive, because in the Bible, there's hundreds of words actually. But I want you to understand this, that you, like I said last week, if you struggle to love somebody, If you find it hard because somebody has really hurt you or has really cut into you or has really upset you, and you think, I could never forgive that person. I couldn't. You don't know what they did to me too good. I'm going to explain a lot about my own story next week. But I want to tell you this, that this morning, even as we tee this up, you have all the forgiveness that you need on the inside of you. Because you've got the same spirit as Jesus Christ, the Word of God says. And just in the same way that you have all the love that you will ever need to show to anyone, I want to encourage you, do not despair if you think, no, my situation's too tough. It's like one of those things, you think your situation's tough? Well, let me tell you. You know, I have all these people go, oh, I'll tell you about my situation. But I want to encourage you that you have all the forgiveness that you need, and it's right on the inside of you. And this week, you can start to operate and release the forgiveness that you need to show in relationships. And here's the big deal. The big deal is this, that there is a direct connection between how well you're able to operate and release forgiveness and your spiritual health. So actually, this is all about being healthy spiritually. You know, if we show a willingness to forgive and we start to operate in forgiveness against the people who have wronged us, what you will find is your spiritual health will improve infinitely. Because it is one of the biggest ways of killing the flow of God in your life. It's to hold on to things that where people have hurt you. And I really want to encourage you that what I want to talk about in terms of forgiveness is not to make you feel bad, but it's actually to set you free. It's actually to understand, you know what, I've got forgiveness and love on the inside of me. How do I understand that and operate and release in it and set myself free? Forget about the people who have wronged you, but actually set you free. That's what this is about. You see, quite often, whenever you hold something, you know, against somebody, they don't really know about it. And so they can quite happily go on in their lives thinking, I'll see your man, well, how are you doing, take it, you all right, and walk on. And you could be wanting to hit them with a shovel. Do you know what I mean? And all that does is they rent space in your head, and you get angry, and you get upset, and it kills you. It robs you of peace. It robs you of joy. It robs you of everything that God wants to pour into your life. Why? Because you're hanging on. And I want to encourage you over these next few weeks, we're going to learn how to flow in the forgiveness that God has put in us. And as we do that, do you know what happens? You are set free. They might never know about it. They might never have a second thought about it, but you essentially will become free. It's an incredible thing. Isn't that good? Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now the word forgive there is slightly wider. It means show grace. In the same way that God has poured grace into your life, pour grace into other people's. Show grace. That's what that word means in Ephesians 4:32. And that's for next week. So what exactly are we talking about? What does it actually mean to forgive? It's a tough one, isn't it? Because we're told, what just as God's forgiven you, then you need to forgive. Well, what's that actually mean? Because there are times in the Bible where you read about forgiveness, and the words are totally different. Actually, there are three, you're like this, Mark. There are three words in Hebrew for forgiveness and four in Greek. Do you want to hear them? All right. The reason why I'm going to tell you this is because actually forgiveness is much wider and much broader than saying sorry. That's the point. If anyone's got kids, you'll know how difficult it is to get them to say sorry. Like, you have to beat it out of them, don't you? Say sorry. Say sorry. That's not... No, I've done it with Ben so many times. If you don't say sorry, I'm going to smack you. And you're thinking, this is all going wrong. Do you know what I mean? But go and say, you know, and it's not natural for us, is it, at all? It's really not natural. So we need to be really clear what we're talking about, because it's not just going and kind of putting your head down and walking off. And the words that are used in the Bible, the Hebrew word kafar means to cover over. So it talks about how God has covered over our sins. And it's this picture, okay? There are 75 word pictures in the Bible that describe forgiveness. It's incredible. It's multifaceted. There's length, there's depth, and there's height, and there's width to forgiveness. But kafar means God has covered it all. All right? So if you think about how God has done this in your life, think about how this would look when you start to release and forgive other people. If you kafar them, oh, that means that you cover over everything that they've done. It's just like burying it, all right? That's the picture. Okay, NASA means you take it away, NASA. So that there's an element of forgiveness which means just take it away from me. I don't want to have it anymore in my life. Bear it, take it away, get rid of it. And the word salak means this. It's only ever used in reference to God. It actually means you're pardoned. It's a legal expression that means the gavel comes down and you are pardoned. Out you go, you've got off free. And then in the New Testament, Apollyon means that you are released. You are set free. You are no longer in debt to the person that you hurt. You have been released entirely. Isn't that an awesome word? That's the way that God forgives us. Charizomai, which is rooted in the word charis for grace, means that you show grace to somebody. I'm going to embellish these a little bit in the next week. But you show grace. That doesn't mean you go pouring. But actually, and as much as somebody's undeserving and doesn't deserve your forgiveness, you show it anyway. You love them and you prefer them. Ephesus means that you send them away. You send them away. And it's not a case of get out of my sight, I don't want to see you. But it's a case of go from me now because our debts are clear. You're released and you're free. And paresis means that your offense is disregarded. Those are the seven key words for forgiveness. God, offenses that God just disregards, doesn't even see. That's the way the Bible puts it. But let me say what forgiveness is not, and I want to clarify this, because I understand that sometimes when we talk about these issues, what you can find is this, is that I understand that there are very delicate situations in life, whether it's between husbands and wives, whether it's between parents, whether it's between in relationships. And I think we need to be very clear, because oftentimes I've listened to talks on forgiveness and thought, flippin', Nora, how do I do this? You know, and lots of stuff through my head. And sometimes it's very good to clarify what forgiveness is not, so that we're not under any false guilt and any false expectations. Now, forgiveness is not denying that somebody did you harm. You never deny that evil was done to you. God never denies your sin. He chooses to forgive it. He chooses to forgive it, but he doesn't go, oh, let's just pretend that didn't happen. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not making excuses for people's bad behavior. Forgiveness is not pretending that it never happened. And really importantly, for your spiritual and your mental health, actually, it's not glossing over any pain that you might be feeling. All right? Forgiveness is not, oh, it'll be all right. Time's a great healer. Glossing over pain does not mean that you've forgiven anyone. Also, forgiveness does not mean removing consequences. You know, with your kids, you know, it's like those moments where they're genuinely sorry, you know, like, I'm really sorry, because everybody gets smacked in the backside. Well, in our house, that's the way it works anyway. You know, I've had times where, did your parents ever say to you, this is going to hurt me more than it hurt you? Yeah, I know what that means, because when Ben has had tears tripping him, snorters and all the rest of it, and going, I'm really sorry, and I'm thinking, wait, I'm going to have to smack him anyway, do you know what I mean? Because I said that if you did that, I'm going to smack you. So, you know, but one of the things is, you don't remove consequences from people. That's not forgiving them. There are times in the Bible where God wholly forgave people, washed it clean, took it away, bore it, but they still had to walk out their consequences. And we need to be really careful that you don't remove consequences at times from people. There are times where grace will cover consequences, but forgiving someone does not necessarily mean that all the consequences are removed. If somebody's acting in a criminal, literally a criminal behavior, you can't overlook that. Forgiveness is not approving of anybody's sin, condoning their abuse, physical, sexual, whatever. And it certainly doesn't mean that you act as if it never happened. Certainly doesn't mean that either. You see, forgiveness, essentially, is a choice that we make, and it's got nothing to do with how we feel. God doesn't say, do you know what? Let's just pretend these things didn't happen. God actually says, look at what happened. Understand what it did to you. But understand this, that my grace in you is greater than the offense that you're having to deal with. That's what forgiveness essentially is all about. Forgiveness is a choice that we make that is independent of how we feel. Now, if you feel deeply hurt by somebody, you're probably never going to feel like forgiving them. And that's why the Bible says, you know what? Forgiveness is this. It's a decision that you take in your heart to release somebody and to send them away debt-free from you. It's a decision that you make. Now, whenever we start to talk about decisions, what's going to happen is you're going to go, I can't do it. But I want you to keep remembering that everything that you need has been put on the inside of you. All the grace and all the forgiveness and all the love that you need for the person who's really wronged you is already there. And you can operate and you can release in it. That's why 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love, God's kind of love, his commitment to you, does not keep a record of wrongs. Because whenever we've really forgiven somebody and we've started on a process, we've made a decision in their heart to leave whatever they've offended us with at the door and to let them walk out without it. We're not going to skim over it and pretend that, yeah, there, it's all right. But actually part of growing up spiritually and being mature spiritually is going, I feel like I was wrong. I've been offended, but I'm going to deal with that in an appropriate manner. That's what God calls us to. And do you know when we do it that way? You actually become free. There's so many Christian people who I meet, and I've done it for years, where people really get you. You know what I mean? When people really annoy you, like really hurt you and really upset you, and you think, I'm going to smack them one. Well, I think like that, okay? I have times when I'm driving along the car and I think, see if he was on the pavement, I might pretend that I was missing a dog and actually mow him down and all this kind of stuff. And I'm your pastor, all right? So I'm just going, like, I'm putting it all out there. There are times when there's things in our hearts that can lie there. I've never actually done it, although during the week it was very close. And I thought, you know, I'm drifting. Just kidding. And even Mildy can run quicker than that. So, you got into the shop, Emily. And what I find is this, is that what I think I have forgiven somebody for can lie festering in my heart for years. And it comes up at the most inopportune times. And I think, God, I thought I'd dealt with this. But what I've actually found is I made a decision to gloss over it. I didn't recognize it, call it for what it was, and ask for God's grace to deal with it. Now, we're going to learn how to do that. You know, you might say, well, listen, hold on a minute. How can I ever let go of anger and the desire to get back at somebody? But I want us to understand that in its true light, forgiveness is an act of mercy towards the person who's wronged you. You might say, well, look, they don't deserve it. Too good, you have no idea what they have put me through. You have no idea how they hurt me. And I'm going to say to you this, of course they don't deserve it. Nobody deserves forgiveness, because if it had to be earned, they wouldn't need it in the first place. If you could earn your way out of something, you wouldn't need forgiveness. That's the whole point. We couldn't do anything with God other than say, God, forgive me. So, of course, nobody's ever going to deserve your forgiveness. But you know what? We can get to be people who get to the place where we go, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And as much as I understand what you've forgiven me, I can release you in the name of Jesus with all the love and the grace to cover whatever was going on between us. People will never deserve it, but that should never hold us back. It's a gift of mercy that we give to somebody who has hurt us. The gift as well is often between you. It's given to the person, but that gift will remain between you and God most times. And that's the hard thing. There's something about us that goes, I want the whole world to know what they did and how much I've forgiven them. Isn't that right? I'd probably say we haven't actually got there if that's what we're thinking. But I want to encourage us that we're going to look at how do we get to the place where actually we gift mercy and we gift love and we gift grace to somebody and it remains between you and God. That's how we know we're starting to walk in forgiveness. If God knows that's all that matters, the end result will be a change in the way that you see and you act towards that other person. But you know what? Essentially, it works between you and God. Now, essentially, that's twice I've said essentially, I'm running out of words. Okay, forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation and restoration. It doesn't necessarily. I'm gonna probably take quite a bit of next week to explain my own journey over this last year. And it's a wee bit like EastEnders, so tune in because it's been amazing. But here's the thing that I've learned. I have been walking out a journey of forgiveness, all right? Going from times of, you know, into the garage to get that shovel to walk around to actually do the damage to, you know, on my floor crying, going, oh God, I forgive them, and everything else in between, all right? I'm just trying to be real with you. I don't want you to think I'm a psychopath. I'm genuinely not. But we can't, well, maybe a wee bit, but you can't talk about these things and gloss it over in Christianese, because that's not life. That's not what we're going to deal with this afternoon whenever somebody does something, cuts us up in the car. I have a whole road rage thing, which I'm going to confess and forgive people who can't drive. And that's one of the things I really need to work on. But the point is this. I was talking about forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean restoration or reconciliation. All right? Reconciliation is something totally different. Reconciliation requires forgiveness. It'll never happen without it. But forgiveness does not demand reconciliation. I want to free you up on that. Forgiveness, you see, depends entirely on you, whereas reconciliation depends on you and somebody else. It implies confession, it implies repentance, it implies forgiveness and restoration of trust. And in the passage of time, actually, I think there can be a mutual desire to reconcile. But often that's not possible. You see, some of us think, unless I get to the stage where I can go out picking curtains with this person again, then I haven't really forgiven them. That's not true. That's not biblical forgiveness. That's reconciliation and restoration. I think that's what God's ideal is, but that is not the same thing as forgiveness. There's so much to this, I get really excited. So that's what we're talking about. And finally, just as an introduction, I want to encourage you in this, that probably what we're going to find is that as we talk about how we forgive in context of the love of God, we're going to find out that forgiving somebody is not a one-time act. but it's a process and a lifestyle that we're going to have to adopt and walk through. You see, it's both things. It is an event in as much as you decide to forgive someone. There's a one moment in time where you go, right, I'm going to forgive. But after that, that's when it all really starts to work. You know, I've forgiven some people 63,000 times in the last 6 months, all right? And what I find is every day I have to go up and I need to do it again. And that doesn't mean that I kind of bring all these people to mind and forgive them one by one. I'm going to explain what it means next week. But essentially, it's a process that we repeat over time. Whenever the disciples were talking to Jesus in Matthew 18, rabbinic law at the time of Jesus said that you needed to forgive somebody three times in a day. All right, so on the fourth time, if somebody annoyed you the fourth time, you could get stuck in. All right, essentially. So that's what the rabbis would have taught. That was a school of thought at the time in terms of forgiveness. So you get Peter and the guys coming to Jesus and saying, well, how many times will I forgive? Seven. So basically what they've done is they've doubled it and added one for good luck. All right? To make themselves look like, how good are we? And Jesus then in verse 22 of Matthew 18 goes, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Matthew 18, 22. And the point is this, that's our passages for next week, but the point is this, is that this is a process. It's not I've done this and I leave it behind and I walk on. Actually, what we'll find is when you've been really hurt and you've been deeply hurt and deeply offended, you're going to walk that out. That's the way it works. Sometimes there's an act of God, proof, grace, and a lot of the stuff that's bound you will go. But essentially, I want to encourage you that there's a process to forgiveness. But if we will go with it, I promise you this, I believe that unforgiveness dealt with properly is one of the biggest keys to releasing you to flow in God's love. It's one of the things that I have found over this year has been an incredible process, incredibly difficult, not easy, but the most freeing thing that probably I've experienced other than getting saved was actually learning what it means to have a really hard situation where you've been trampled on and all the rest of it, but to get to the point where you can release people and love them and wish them God's very best. And the difference that has made, not in them, they still can't be bothered, but here's the thing, I'm free. I'm free of them. It's incredible. And what I find is I have much more, and as much as God, I read now about how much God loves me, the more I read about that, the more I understand that, then it frees me to love all around me. It's fantastic. So let me encourage you. There may be some tough things that come to mind. Have you noticed the way I just kind of move across the stage?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's kind of weird. So there are things that are going to come to mind. I'm just moving down the way. There are things that are going to come to mind over these next few weeks and people and situations. And we want to be really sensitive to you as you probably work some of that stuff out. But I really want to encourage you. One of the things that is holding back the Church of God is that they sit in unforgiveness. Men and women who have harbored hurt and anger and disappointment for years upon years upon years. And you know what? It just robs us of everything that God has. Everything that God wants to flow through us and the joy and the peace. If you're living in strife, we talked about a few weeks ago, then there's no room for love. And I really want to encourage you, you can be free. Totally and utterly free. As you learn how to flow in love and forgiveness. Isn't that an incredible thing? So this week, let me encourage you. If there's a place to start with this, it's what we've been doing over these last 6 or 7 weeks. Is think and dwell upon how much God loves you. Think and dwell upon this week. You know, get your Bible out. Read about how much God has committed to you. Think about those things. And understand and dwell on his utter, total commitment to you. And I tell you what, that'll give you a big head start as you start to then look at your heart and go, okay, this person, I need to deal with this. But if you start from a place of God, I know that you totally and utterly love me. You're totally committed to me. And it doesn't matter what's in here because you are committed to me. That's a really great place to start. It's where you start actually in walking out your freedom. Amen?
Amen.
While we stand, what we're going to do just for a minute is, let me just ask you to close your eyes and Like I say, there's no spiritual superstars in here who've got this thing nailed. Not one of us. And probably even as I've been talking this morning, there's people, or certain, you've probably had faces probably in the mind, or situations and relationships where you think, that's sore to touch. Or not just sore, I'm really mad, or I'm deeply hurt. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, do you know what? I can help you release forgiveness and love for that person and set you free. And I even think as you have those people in your mind and you think, God, if there's something inside you that says, you know what, Lord, I would love to be free of this. I would love to be clear of the hurt and the pain that I feel whenever this comes into my mind. Then I really want to encourage you that this week that the Holy Spirit has sent to you, think about and dwell on my love for you. Think about what I've done for you. Think about how I love you. Just, you know, I'm totally committed to you no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, or no matter what you think is in there that nobody else sees. God says, I'm totally committed to you. And as you think upon that and you dwell upon that, what God has done for you, it'll help you to decide to choose to walk in forgiveness for other people. It's the start of the journey.